Welcome to Limitless, the Blind Beginnings podcast where seeing things differently inspires limitless possibilities. The Limitless podcast was created in order to inform, educate, entertain, and share stories from within the blind and partially sighted community that show that the opportunities for those who are blind or partially sighted are truly limitless. And now, it is my pleasure to introduce you to your host, the founder of Blind Beginnings, Sean Marcellet.
Welcome back to Limitless, the Blind Beginnings podcast. I'm your host, Sean Marcellet. We've got another awesome episode for you today. I'm so excited. We are talking about backhanded compliments. And I've got three awesome co-hosts, Ishita, Nolan, and Nika. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Hi, thank you.
Hi.
So why don't you each remind our listeners who you are, your level of vision, if you want to share kind of what stage of life you're at, age, grade, etc. Ishita, why don't you go first?
Sure. So hi, everyone. My name is Ishita. I am currently 23 and a university student, hopefully in my final year. And I have a condition called Conrad dystrophy. So this primarily affects my central field of vision. So I can see general details pretty well, but have issues with seeing finer details, shapes, and colors.
Hi, I'm Nika. I'm 22 years old, and I have a condition called congenital scleric cornea. And pretty similar to Ishita, I can't see fine details. I can see shapes and colors, and most of my usable vision is in my left eye.
Hi, I'm Nolan. I'm 16 years old. I'm in grade 11. My eye condition is Leber's congenital amaurosis. I'm basically completely blind, except I do have a tiny bit of light perception.
All right. So Ishita had actually emailed me about writing a blog about backhanded compliments, and I got very excited and thought that it would be a really great podcast topic. But Ishita, why don't you explain what you were thinking for this topic? Why did you want to talk about it?
Yeah, so I think this came from, I probably just had a bad day that day and I was angry. So I probably just really, that's a lot of how my blog ideas come forward. But I think this generally came from a pattern I noticed that a lot of the time as a person who is blind, we tend to get a lot of compliments in quotes, because I think people who are saying it to us mean it well and as a compliment, but to us it tends to come off as, you know, it didn't really land the way that I think they wanted it to, and it can oftentimes be kind of insulting. So one really big example that I tend to get is in any stage of wherever I am, it's always like, oh, your eyes are so pretty for a blind person. Which I never know how to take that, because it's like, thank you, but like, do I say thank you? Do I say, you know, those aren't two mutually exclusive things, you know? Mm-hmm. Many blind people have very beautiful eyes. So, you know, that's kind of a lot of like physical appearance stuff, but then there's also some that relate to my ability. So like, if I do something without tripping or without, just generally quite graceful, people will say, wow, that was so graceful for a blind person. And it tends to come off as like, oh, okay. So, you know, it's not a compliment you would give someone generally, because like we said, it is quite backhanded, but I thought it would be a really cool conversation to talk about the different kinds of compliments we get, and just generally how this makes us feel and how these could be better approached by people.
Nolan and Nika, have you, maybe you can, yeah, what are your thoughts about this topic?
I used to get this actually quite a bit when I did performances when playing the violin. I'd always get people coming up to me after I played saying, wow, you're such a good violinist for a blind person. And even I didn't expect a blind person like you to be that good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty similar. When I was in choir after performances, a lot of times I would do solos and I had people come up to me and say they were really surprised I had a good singing voice and that I could remember all of the music. And just lots of examples like that, even just in my daily life. I put a lot of time and effort into my appearance. And I had people say, like, oh, who did your makeup? Who picked out your jewelry for you? I'm like, I did.
Yeah, I've definitely had the... I've had your eyes are beautiful as well, which not lately, I'm not sure about that, but as you get older, you get less of that maybe. But almost like this assumption that if you're blind, your eyes couldn't possibly look, I don't know, typical or, and especially not beautiful. For me, it's the doing something, the competence, the assumption that you're not going to be very good at something because you're blind. So the fact that you are is kind of shocking. And that's what's coming across. I've also had people just say to me as I'm walking down the sidewalk, you're doing good. Like, thanks. I've been walking for quite a long time, you know, like, wow, I'm doing good because I'm walking down the sidewalk. What do we think? What are they thinking when they say these things? What is their intention? What are our thoughts on that?
I feel like most of the time people do mean well when they say this stuff, but that's not like constantly, that's not always the case.
Mm.
There are certainly people who will do it to sort of make fun of you, like, wow, you're so good at like opening doors for a blind person or something like that.
Are you talking like friends at school or peers at school, that kind of
like
the type of people that would make fun of you?
Yeah, okay. That could be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think especially in the setting you're in, you know, thank God I'm out of high school, geez. But I think, you know, when you're out and about, what I've heard, because I have asked some people, you know, on a day when I was especially a little bit like irritated, I asked, like, do you mind me asking why you said that? And I don't think they expected me to say that. And they kind of like, oh, okay. But they said that, oh, I just didn't think you heard many compliments, so I wanted to give you one. So I think that was that first, that they assumed that my life must have been very sad and I don't get many compliments, and you know, and that's something that's noticeable, so they wanted to give that. So I think Nolan is right, where they assume that, you know, they're trying to do something good, but it's coming from an assumption that our lives are in a way sad and we're deprived of compliments, and they wanted to do something positive in their perception, and they assumed I would take it in a positive way.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think I agree with that. And maybe even part of it could be that they're so surprised, whether it's they're surprised at how good we are at whatever we're doing or surprised at how beautiful we look. And maybe it's just they don't necessarily think before they say it. And it's kind of just something that comes off as rude, maybe because I think we've all been in situations where maybe we've said something before we really thought about it. So I'm also wondering if that could also be part of it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I have had people say to me, do you know that you're attractive? And I've actually heard, I know I have a friend who somebody came up to him also and was like, you're really good looking. Like, do you know that? So, which is a little bit different than you're good looking for a blind person. I feel like, you know, not being able to see yourself and having somebody tell you that you look good is different than the whole like, oh, I thought you would look freaky and you don't, so good for you. Because that's kind of how it comes across when they add that whole, oh, your eyes are beautiful for a blind person, or you look really nice for a blind person. Like, we don't want to look nice for a blind person. We want to look nice, period. Right.
And I think it's one thing if it comes from someone who you know, like someone who's a friend or family member that says, like, oh, you're really attractive, versus a stranger wording it in that way.
Hmm. I appreciate the strangers that tell me I'm nice looking because my family's, they could lie. They could be just trying to make me feel good, right? Like, I mean, what are they going to say? No, you're not. You should put a paper bag over your head.
No, it kind of presents this idea that the expectations for us are like on the ground. And if we put any sort of effort into anything, it's like a huge surprise. And it's like, I don't know, it's kind of like the for a blind person is the thing that's always like, it was going so well, but then you had to add that at the end. And now it's like, now I don't know how to take it.
Yeah, that's reminding me, I've done like workshops and I've had people fill out evaluations at the end. And occasionally somebody will write something like, you have a beautiful smile or something, which I'm pretty sure they would not write if the, I don't know. Like, I don't know that an able-bodied, sighted presenter would get those kinds of evaluation comments. It just seems, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. And if you're listening and you've gotten a comment like that and you do not have a disability, I'd love to hear from you because it's lovely. Like, thank you, but just seems misplaced somehow. So I mean, we're a range of ages here, but it sounds like we all kind of feel the same about this. I'm not really hearing, I don't know, like when I was, do you think this is something that changes over your lifespan? Do you care less as you get older? Do you care more as you get older? Of course, I'm the oldest one, so maybe I'm the one that should be able to answer that, but I would say I still care. I don't think it's gotten any better. You know, I appreciate that they maybe are well-intentioned, but it still does tick me off when it happens to me.
I would say I still care, even though I'm an adult. I think the difference is how I react. I think as a kid or even a teenager, I would kind of just freeze up, or sometimes I would get pretty visibly angry, and now I'm able to kind of regulate my emotions a bit more. But it's definitely something that still frustrates me. And something I noticed is that I actually get those compliments more as an adult than I did when I was a kid. Maybe it could also be that I'm noticing it more as an adult.
Right.
I feel like it depends on like on the person too, and like your experiences with it. Because you're really good at this for a blind person can be pretty annoying, but like if you get it a lot, then like I could see some people sort of getting, you know, used to dealing with that a bit more.
Well, I guess, does it matter what the thing is? Like, I was just trying to think of, are there times when, okay, like people get a kick out of me being in their car and directing them to my house, for example, if they're giving me a ride home and we get close and I kind of know where we are and I can say, okay, you're going to turn here, and they just think it's hilarious. And, oh, look, a blind person's giving me directions. That's so funny. Like, you know where we are better than I do. Ha ha ha. Like, it's annoying, but also there's a part of me that's kind of, I don't know. I mean, maybe not so much in that situation because that's not that big of a deal. But there are some times where I feel like I'm impressing people because I can do something that maybe.
Yeah, that like, I guess anyone should be able to do. But why is it so impressive that I can do it when it's a normal thing that everyone else does? I think I've gotten that a lot too, for sure, especially because where I live is very, you have to kind of go into like an alley. And it can get really dark, so it's hard to read the numbers on the house. Mm-hmm. So I show everyone the tactic I use of just like counting the houses. And right. Then everyone gives me that like, oh my God, you're so like, wow, like it's crazy that you know this. And I'm like, I live here. I would be concerned if I didn't know this.
Yes.
So I think like Nika's really right. And the approach for me is now a lot more, either it's like, I'd be patient, I'm not afraid to kind of just say something back to them in a more witty way, or just kind of brush it off. But I've definitely noticed that's a lot more common as an adult. Could just be that when you're in, you know, in school, you're not meeting as many people. It's kind of just the same people pretty often. versus as an adult, you're going to a lot more different places and you're interacting with so many more people. But I also wonder if it's has to do with our gender, because on average, I've noticed that women tend to get more open compliments than men. So I've noticed that whenever I'm walking with someone, just in general, whether it's like with another, with a guy, it's always like they, I always tend to get more of the physical compliments or comments or whatever that is. So I don't know if that is a thing. It's just something I have noticed a bit more, that maybe our genders also have a role in the amount of compliments or the way that it's approached by people.
I do think women are looked at or, you know, judged based on appearance a lot. So maybe we're just getting more looks to begin with. I don't know.
Something else I also noticed is that when I'm with other people, I don't tend to get compliments, but when I'm just out by myself, I do, which is also something else that makes me wonder, maybe that's why I get more backhanded compliments and experience them more as an adult than a kid. Because when I was a kid, I was always with my parents or another adult.
Yeah, I wonder if it's something about being uncomfortable and not really knowing how to speak to somebody who's blind. So, you know, just as an opener, it's like, well, I'm going to pay you a compliment. And wow, you're walking really well. So
that's all I can say. It's like a bad pickup line, basically.
Whenever I'm out with my parents, like people tend to, instead of, they might still give compliments, but like they'll address it to my parents rather than me.
Yeah.
So ooh, like,
yeah,
your son is really good at walking.
Like her toddler.
Oh, he can do stairs. That's really great.
So impressive that your teenage son can go upstairs all by himself.
Yes. That's like two wrongs in one statement, right? Like the talking to the other person instead of to you directly, and then the backhanded compliment as well. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. I had one where I was with a friend and a person nearby waited until I had went to the bathroom to compliment me to my friend. And they were like, you can just say it to her when she comes back. They're like, oh, well, I didn't know if it was okay. And it was just like the fact that they liked my shoes or something. I can't even remember what it was. And it was just like, what, huh? Like, and they're like, oh, your friend's shoes. And she's like, you can just say it to her. It's okay. And then when I came back, my friend was like, the person said something, like they complimented me, and I looked over and I waved at them, and then they just like turned their face. So I'm like, oh, I don't even know what to really say in that situation. So I think there's that whole thing, like, yes, they don't know how to approach us. But I am genuinely curious of how maybe they thought it would be better coming from someone that I had known. I've also heard that they sometimes don't want to startle us, because I think maybe people's perception of blindness is that it's so one note and you can't see anything. So if someone's talking to you, maybe they assume that you won't know who it is, and that'll really like disorient you. And I think that's just people being very cautious and just not having an understanding of how blindness works. Because I've also had like, oh wow, you can orient your gaze so well, and I'm like,
oh yeah,
yes, I can hear.
Ooh, that's a good one. You don't look blind. That's a pretty big backhanded compliment. You can't tell to look at you that you're blind. Like, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a common one.
Look like.
Mm-hmm.
I did ask a person as well, because again, I'm just so curious what people think. I think from them, it's if your eyes don't look cloudy, and if your eyes and your like eyes are moving in a way that is considered normal and normative. So you're able to move your eyes to sounds, to people. I think this is what they're saying. And I also don't use a cane all the time, especially in areas that I'm very comfortable with. So sometimes it catches people off guard when I say that I'm blind. So I get that as well. Like, wow, you don't look blind at all. Like, you don't even have anything presenting that. And it's like, I understand that if I'm not holding a cane, it's not always easy to tell, but it's just an interesting conversation, because I always wonder, like, What's the end goal here? What's trying to be communicated here?
I've actually never gotten that, but I'm wondering if that's just because, like, I do look blind.
Same. I have, like, I do have clouded eyes, and I do have, like, nystagmus and strabismus, which is when your eyes are cross-eyed. So it's something I've never experienced before.
My eyes do tend to move around, like, quite random, in, like, random directions, so could be obvious from that. And I do carry a cane everywhere, so.
Hi there, listeners. I just wanted to interrupt to tell you how much we appreciate you, but we really want to get our message out there to as many people as possible. So if you are enjoying this podcast, please help us by sharing, liking, subscribing, leave us a rating. And we are so grateful to you for listening each week. And now back to this episode.
I'm curious, Sean, have you noticed a difference? Because you lost your vision a little bit later on. When you were younger versus now, have people said this compliment to you? The back end compliment?
I think it's hard to tell because when I was younger, I was trying really hard to not appear blind or even be out about my blindness. A lot of the time I was kind of hiding and, you know, would hide the cane and would, I was really good at faking that I could see. So I perfected the whole not looking blind, I think. Now that I am not able to fake it anymore, it's definitely, and people do sometimes still say it, but I think I'm more noticeably blind now. So yeah, you know, I'm going to bump into something or feel around for something or definitely have the cane with me a lot of the time. I think if I was still sitting on a couch without the cane, nope, I don't think it would be noticeable until I tried to interact. You know, somebody hands me something and I don't reach my hand out, or I get up to move around and trip over the thing on the floor that I didn't know was there or something like that. So, but yeah, I've kind of always, I don't think it's increased. I think it's about the same. But I don't count the times when I wasn't trying, you know, when I was trying not to look blind. I feel like if people didn't know a lot of the time, so they wouldn't have complimented me anyway. And honestly, part of why I didn't want people to know was because of this stuff, right? It is these situations that it can be annoying. Like you're just minding your own business, living your life, doing your thing, and somebody says something like this, and it sort of reminds you in that moment, like, oh, right, I'm different. And maybe you weren't even, probably you weren't even thinking about it, right?
Yeah, I think my interpretation of it over the years has just boiled down to them saying, you look normal. That's a good thing. Like, that's how I think they're saying it. But then, like you just said, when they say it, it reminds you that you're not.
Yeah.
That you do stand out. And it's like, I don't know how, again, because it's so confusing, because it's like, okay, I understand they're trying to say that, oh yeah, like you blended into the crowd and that's great. And it's like, you know, that wasn't necessarily my intention, but now this is bringing attention to the fact that I am blind. And now this is clearly separating me from other people.
Exactly. And that was my goal, like starting in high school, starting from the moment I found out that I had this eye condition, it was to blend in. That's exactly was my goal. And we are praised, we are encouraged to blend in, right? Like we are complimented for blending in, and it just reinforces, okay, I should continue to try to hide. At least that's what it did for me. I can see that, you know, for Nika, for you and Nolan, that maybe was never an option, but that also makes you more prone to hear these comments more and more too. And if you can't, well, now I'm at the point where I can't really do anything about it either, right? I can't hide it anymore. So what does that mean? Am I less valuable now because I can't pass as a sighted person?
And I think neither of these situations is better than the other. I know when I was in my early teens, I kind of wished I had the ability to hide it. And now as an adult, I realized that it's not really fair to be jealous of something like this because it's such a burden to have on your shoulders all the time to try to hide it. And I don't know, it's interesting to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do often say that getting to a point where I see less in many ways has made my life easier, ironically, because yeah, I don't have to make a choice about it. Ishita, I assume you can choose, right? You can choose if you would like to be anonymously visually impaired in a setting, in a certain setting, you could.
Yeah. And I think I definitely struggle with this. And because I am very proud of my blindness, I'm very, you know, I any chance I look at, I want to educate people on blindness and how it's a spectrum. But, you know, the reality is in certain areas and with certain people, it is just easier to blend in. You know, it is easier to just pull up my hood and not have my cane and just walk, especially if I know the area very well. Because, you know, when you have a cane or have a guide dog or are presenting blind in a way, you're unfortunately opening yourself up to questions, to people stopping you, to people wanting to engage with you in relation to your blindness. And there's some days where you just don't want that, you know, it's because mm-hmm. you are not your blindness. You're so much more. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have an inner conflict where it's like, I'm doing the thing that I don't like. I'm doing the thing where it's like, I'm hiding my blindness, which I know is not a bad thing, but mm-hmm. I'm choosing to do it because, you know, it's either that or I deal with some uncomfortable conversations that I really don't want to have today. So exactly. Like, yeah, I think a lot of people who maybe are partially sighted or have some vision and have this choice, I feel like definitely struggle with this, especially when they're in their blindness journey and they're comfortable with it at this point. It's a little bit of a hard thing to decide to do on a, like mm-hmm. on, depending on the day and the situation we're in.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally get it. And it doesn't correlate to having any sort of negative feelings about being blind. It's like, it's a different part of it, right? It's like the fact that I can't see isn't the thing that I'm trying to hide. It's the stereotype that society has, I think, or that I mm-hmm. assume society has. So, and those backhanded compliments, or the ridiculous questions or whatever, reminds me constantly that, yep, society does still have that stereotype. So it's reinforcing every time somebody says something like this, or, mm-hmm. you know, asks a kind of silly question about blindness or makes an assumption, it reinforces it. Like, yeah, no, they still don't get it. They still don't really understand what blindness is.
The hardest part of being blind or disabled in general isn't the actual blindness itself. It's society and having to deal with it in that sense with everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember, especially when I was a teenager, the thing I struggled with a lot was the attention. Because, you know, we're already insecure about everything in our lives. And when you have a cane in your hand, it brings a lot more attention to you. And it is a little bit on, you know, whether it's right in your face, people asking questions, or it's just people staring. And that already feels so uncomfortable. It's like, well, are they staring at me because of the cane? Are they staring because I have a giant zit? Like, what do I do? And it's like, you know, and I've made the decisions to not have my cane in situations that I definitely should have, but it's just because I was dealing with a lot of uncomfortable feelings before it. And the only thing I could control in the moment was not have my cane. You know, I can't take away the blindness, neither did I want to, but the only thing I could control in the moment was to stop the staring. That's the only thing I could think of. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it was a very difficult, journey. You know, thankfully I don't do that anymore, and I'm very proud that I'm able to move past that. But yes, there are definitely still those moments where it's like, I'm gonna have, you know, prepare yourself when you're having a bad day. It's like, okay, you know, I might get these, but we're gonna just charge through it and get to the end of the day just because of that.
Oh yeah, for years I would go out with friends and just have my cane in my purse folded or under my arm, you know, kind of hidden away. I would just go sight a guide with whoever I was with. Like, that was the pattern. For I would use it if I was by myself and I needed to, but if I was with somebody sighted, I wouldn't, and I would just kind of hope that nobody would notice. And it's so funny, like, there are circumstances where maybe you do want to be noticed. I'm thinking, like, when I was single and, you know, going out hoping that maybe I would meet somebody, maybe the white cane would have made me stand out and be more noticeable. But the fear was that it would make me more noticeable in the wrong way. Like, you know, that somebody's going to buy into the stereotype and then make assumptions about me and not talk to me at all. So it was kind of better to try to blend in and not be noticed than to be noticed. Nolan, I'm curious about the whole standing out. You're in high school. How do you, and you're a male, like, I don't know if it's different, male, female, but how do you feel about the fact that your white cane, your blindness kind of makes you stand out amongst your peers?
Well, it can be kind of annoying at times in school. Whenever I'm going in the hallways, people will assume I'm lost and that I want to go to my Braille room. And when I don't, and I tell them I know where I'm going, like, sometimes I will be going through the hallways and I'll just hear, "Oh, good job getting to your class, Nolan," from some random person I probably don't even know.
Ick.
Yep. And then also the classic, good job getting up and down the stairs by yourself.
Ew.
From teachers too, and other, I can't decide which is worse, honestly. Teachers that, or yeah, other students.
I think the teachers are worse.
Yeah, they should know better.
Yeah. Some of them do. Some of them actually do a good job with, like, knowing what exactly I can do, but, like, that's not always the case.
So, I don't know. This is a silly question maybe, but if somebody does want to pay us a compliment, what are some things that they should consider?
I feel like the whole "you look good" could be something, as long as you don't add "for a blind person" at the end.
Yes. That's probably the simplest, right? Just take out the whole "for a blind person" and whatever you're saying is probably lovely.
Yeah. One extra step, not necessary at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I always say, you know, you don't need to change your vocabulary or the way you approach us just because we are disabled. As you would say to anyone else, that's how I would recommend approaching us. But to me, I think the biggest thing is acknowledging effort is one of the biggest things that I know I would appreciate. Like, when I would play sports, I think instead of people saying, like, "Wow, like that was, you hit the ball. Wow. Good job." It's just like, "Wow, that must've taken, you know, you must've practiced a lot to be able to get to this place, you know," or something like that. I think what I heard was that, you know, especially people who play instruments, they always hear, like, "Wow, you're so talented," but it's very rare that you hear people acknowledging the amount of effort they put into their passion. So I think that's something that at least I know I would appreciate a lot, that yes, I'm able to do this, but it has come with me putting in the effort and being able to practice this. So I wouldn't mind people acknowledging the effort it takes to be competent and be confident in the way that I walk and the way that I address things and do things in the more physical sense. But when it comes to appearance, yeah, definitely. You don't need to add the "for a blind person." I think it's just, do you want to pay a compliment? We'd appreciate it. If not, maybe just you don't need to say anything and we can move on with our day.
Yeah, that's a good point. When I am complimented for, maybe let's say I've had to memorize a speech because I can't read my notes and my Braille skills are not good enough. Like, I can Braille a couple of words that cue me, but if somebody is, like, impressed that I memorized the speech, that's not yes, I had to memorize a speech because I'm blind and using the notes isn't going to work for me, but also, yeah, it does take more time and effort to memorize a speech. So I'm okay to be acknowledged for, like, when somebody notices that I've had to go an extra few steps in order to do the thing that other people can do without those extra steps. I don't find that offensive. I find that kind of validating. Like, you recognize that sometimes I do have to work harder in order to have the same result. that's not offensive.
Mm-hmm. Same, I think, with academics. I remember, and this stands out to me so clearly, I was always told that math 10 would be very difficult by both just adults and also blind friends who were a couple years older than me. And I had my first test in grade 10 in math, and it came back and I got almost 100. And my EA and my math teacher were basically like, good job. We were sure you were going to fail it.
Oh, wow.
Seriously. And
thanks for the vote of confidence. I think I much rather have gotten a, oh, you must have studied a lot because you didn't understand the concept at the beginning and now you do. I would have much preferred that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. We don't need to know that you had low expectations for us.
Yeah, I think any educator just, you know, it's not a good thing to say that to anyone. But yeah, I think like I'm going through that right now because I'm taking a higher level anatomy class and it is a struggle for sure because it's so visual. But it's always interesting to me when I am telling people I'm doing this and I get a range of reactions from why would you do that to wow, I can imagine that's taking a lot of effort. And, you know, how is that going? And you know, it's coming from an interest point and like acknowledgement, the fact that I'm putting in a lot of effort. You know, mm-hmm. It's just our standards don't need to be lowered. It's just an understanding that, yes, things do take more effort for us. But, you know, we are the ones putting in the effort and we are controlling the amount of effort we're putting into this. I think that's the thing, the amount of control we have in the situation. That's what I would prefer to be complimented on rather than just something to be assumed that it's just happening to me. Or it's just like, wow, you magically rolled out of bed and you look good today. It's like, no, you know, clearly I did put in the effort mm-hmm. and I am presenting myself like this through a choice. So that is something I would like acknowledge rather than just assuming that it's happening or someone else is doing it for me. Because I think that is also one that you get a lot, that other people are helping you or doing it for you. And it's like,
yeah.
No, I don't know how people assume that we just have people at our disposal at our time. Like, God, no, I do not.
the hairstylist and the fashion designer every morning that gets us yeah. dressed and sends us out in the world. I wish.
Yeah. How can we afford that? But I think it's just like, you know, whether it's we're with someone or anything, it's the same as like assuming that they're a helper or something. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, you know, these are people that they're choosing to be with us for one reason or another. And I think just going forward with an inquisitive perspective or just acknowledging, yeah, that we're putting a lot of effort into something. And it's always nice to be validated for that.
Any final thoughts? How do we want to wrap this up?
I guess I can kind of talk to what I said earlier about choosing, you know, when, especially when you are partially sighted and how that is when you're presenting yourself to the world. If any of our listeners are going through that, you know, I'm having a difficult time where it's like, I'm proud of my blindness and, you know, I don't want to perpetuate the stereotypes, but also it's been a hard week and I just don't want to deal with all this. I just want to say that's very normal and that happens to all of us. So you're not alone in that for sure. And it's okay to make a decision that's good for yourself, good for your mental health, good for you in the moment. And it doesn't devalue your progress with your blindness journey and how you see yourself. Cause that's the main thing. You know, if you see yourself the same, whether or not you're holding a cane, I think that's what I would like to focus on. And hopefully that our listeners can keep that in mind when they're going through.
What are our strategies when we hear a backhanded compliment? How do we sort of let it go and get on with our day and not let it drag us down?
Basically, like most of the time, they don't really know that what they're saying could be offensive. Does tend to help a lot more, at least with me personally.
So you just tell yourself that in the moment, like
sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm able to compartmentalize pretty easily, I would say. If I'm not, then sometimes usually just a good workout or something will help with my frustrations. And if it still doesn't, then I do have friends who I can rant about. And usually just talking to friends who understand how I feel is enough to kind of get me over the funk.
Yeah, I agree. I think that having friends who are also blind who've experienced something similar just to rant to helps. Sometimes I'll post something on Facebook and then I get lots of comments back of people who've experienced something similar, which is validating. Sometimes it does really upset me in the moment, though. And I have to actually say to myself, I'm a valuable person and I deserve to be here. You know, kind of give myself a little pep talk as I walk the rest of my way home. It's always on my commute. I feel like I need armor for my commute. There's just always something that happens that reminds me that I'm different. So it's an ongoing battle.
I think, you know, I've mentioned this in a few other podcasts. I use humor to both disarm people and to make myself feel better in a lot of situations. So if people are being snarky or making comments that I don't like, I don't mind just, you know, playing into it a bit or, you know, giving them back a witty response that I think they weren't expecting. Because, you know, it not only shows that it's, I don't appreciate that, but, you know, not having the uncomfortable conversation and being like, I don't want you to say this anymore, especially if it's a quick interaction. I think it also just demonstrates that, you know, we can have personalities and we can have a sense of humor and we can be witty too. So, but definitely when I'm frustrated, I have my people that I talk to. I have my routine to de-stress. And like you said, Sean, reminding yourself that you are a valuable person, whether it's giving yourself a talk or writing a journal entry or however that is that you can do that for yourself. I think that's the thing that helps the most for me.
Yeah, I'm going to try that humor tactic. I feel like it might be fun if somebody's, you know, I'm just thinking like, oh, you don't look blind. Oh, what were you expecting? Some dark glasses and like Stevie Wonder, like, what? I don't know, maybe just having some comebacks prepared for some of the common compliments that you hear, like, oh, you're really good at going up and down the stairs. I will say to people, well, I've been walking for quite a few decades now, you know, I had a lot of practice. Like,
I'm tempted to say now, like in response to, you don't look blind, I say, yeah, well, to me, you look the same as every other blind person I've seen or something.
All right. Well, good luck to you all in disarming people's backhanded compliments. Thank you. Thanks for being here today and sharing your experiences.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you. It was great to be here.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening. We will see you next time.
This podcast has been brought to you by Blind Beginnings, an organization based in Vancouver, Canada, that supports children and youth who are blind or partially sighted, along with their families. Music for this podcast is composed by Sean Bishop and Clement Chow. Production and audio editing by Rob Minot. For more information about Blind Beginnings and the work it does to support children and youth who are blind and partially sighted, along with their families, visit us on the web at www.blindbeginnings.ca. And also remember to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We thank you for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you next time.